Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. What you're going to hear is a show that I was on called Rock the Boat, and it's run by a guy called Ron Stevens. And the other guy on the show is a guy called Chris, but Ron Stevens is the main host. So I was invited onto this show, and it's run via Revolution Radio, but these are Canadians talking. So Ron has got a bunch of analyses of his own as to how he sees the world. He doesn't quite operate in the normal way of the white right, but they were kind enough to ask me to come onto the show and to say whatever I wanted to say. So they were giving me an opportunity to talk to an audience that I've not been exposed to, which I was very grateful for. So in this show, we discuss all kinds of things. And initially, the show goes a bit slow. In the first 30 to 40 minutes, it goes a bit slow. And then we start picking up the pace. And then we start heading into the really fun stuff and interesting stuff. And what I want to do is I just want to mention a few things about the bullshit that white Canadians and white Americans are told by Jews and liberals. They're told a bunch of crap, and this nonsense needs to be countered. This nonsense needs to be nipped in the bud, because it is total horseshit regarding other races and what other races do. So it starts with the notion of, oh, well, you see, the white man left Europe and he went to Africa, and the blacks were living in peace and everything was fine. And then the white man came and stuffed it all up. And then the evil white man went to North America, where the Indians were also living happily in peace, and they were working in accordance with nature, and then the white man came and stuffed it up and genocided everybody, and the white man's an evil freaking criminal. So I just wanted to address a bunch of stuff that people never hear about history. Things that if one leaves most whites, they'll be totally fooled and utterly bullshitted, and one needs to come and take history and put it in its proper perspective. So if you look on the screen in front of you, you'll see in Canada, they talk about, oh, the Indigenous people. And there's the stupid Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau. Interestingly enough, in my digging into history, I want to just tell you a quick little thing. And it is that South Africa was intended to become like Canada. That was what the British were busy doing in the 1850s. The British were basically trying to turn South Africa into another Canada. But the only problem had to do with the racial mixes in South Africa. And so the low population of whites is the only reason why South Africa did not turn into another Canada. But there's a lot of stuff between Canada and South Africa that's almost identical. And it is because these are British creations. So Trudeau isn't a president, he's a prime minister. And South Africa also was run by a prime minister until the 1980s. That was something that was changed in South Africa in the 1980s. But Rhodesia and South Africa, all these British offshoots, are very similar to Canada. In fact, I've even come across instances where lawyers and people making laws in South Africa actually look at Canadian law. That is how close South Africa and Canada are. And it's all because we have a strong British link. We were actually dominions of the British Empire. But anyway, returning to this stuff about the Indigenous peoples of Canada. So there you see the fool, the anti-white, Jew-loving, Jew-boot-licking Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau. And there he is with one of the Indians, the Indigenous peoples of Canada, the First Nations. Well, and everybody wants to pretend, oh, the Indigenous nations, the blacks, every one of them is so cute and sweet and all that kind of stuff. But you actually need to look at history, and history tells a totally different story. If you look on the map in front of you, that map shows a red arrow from Asia. This is what scientists have looked at, and there are various scientific theories, but they all pretty much amount to the same thing, that these people, who are known as the First Nations of Canada and America, the Indigenous people, well, they're not Indigenous at all. They are simply colonists, colonialists, who entered North America between 15 and 20,000 years ago. And they only came into North America when the ice ages had receded and the huge walls of ice, a kilometer high, had melted. And that is when they came into North America. And once they got into North America, they traveled down through to Latin America and South America. There were no humans, by general standards, there were no humans in North America and South America. The humans that came there came from Asia. This particular map that I've chosen is also very interesting because it has another thing that it points out. And it has an arrow coming from Europe 23,000 years ago, and that has to do with the Salutrians. There were whites who went to North America before the, quotes, natives got there. In other words, this is not widely accepted in conventional science, but the evidence for this is very strong. And it's a topic I want to return to. But there is a tremendous amount of evidence that a group of people who were responsible for what is known as the Clovis culture in North America, that these were actually Europeans and they came from France and Spain, 23,000 years ago. They were in North America before these Asiatics came and colonized North America. And then what happened was they lived in North America. These whites clashed with these Asiatics, but these whites lived on the eastern coast of America. And they may have died out as a result of a particular type of climate problem, a very nasty climate problem that came and that killed most of them. But the evidence for them is very clear, and it's a hell of a fascinating story. So just a simple statement is that when you look at archaeology and what humans have done in the last 120,000 years, whether it is leaving Africa, going back into Africa, going from Africa and Asia into Europe. The bottom line is that there is no such thing that anybody owns any particular piece of territory. It is a simple fact of history that every single race of people who live anywhere today are themselves colonists. Blacks are colonists. Blacks who live in the middle of Africa and here in southern Africa are colonialists who come from West Africa. People who live in Asia didn't originally come from Asia. Whites didn't originally come from Europe, although whites have occupied Europe for 45,000 years. But the notion that, these people who live in freaking North America, they are unique to North America. No, they're not. They're Asiatic colonialists, and their DNA has been tested, and their DNA does match Asian DNA. And possibly some of them even interbred a little bit with whites. And there are also Indian tribes that existed in America right up to recent times who may actually have also been of European descent. But whites were also definitely in North America. So whenever you hear all this stuff, Africa belongs to the blacks, and North America belongs to the Indians, it's all a bunch of claptrap, okay? Everybody's been moving around and killing. They've all been moving around and exterminating others who were there before them. Those Asiatics who came to North and South America, they might even have exterminated blacks that somehow got into South America. That's a topic I need to go and revisit, because I read about that quite a long time ago. So don't buy into all this junk propaganda. And another thing is this. People think that these North American Indians had horses all the time, but actually they didn't. The story there is quite interesting. This is from archaeology, and I'm just going to read this piece that's on the screen. It says, why did the Americas not have horses? It says, the ancient wild horses that stayed in America became extinct, possibly due to climate changes. But their ancestors were introduced back to the American land via the European colonists many years later. Columbus's second voyage was the starting point for the reintroduction of bringing Iberian horses to modern-day Mexico. And I'll just add a little bit more. Archaeology shows that when there were horses in North America, the ancient original wild horses that were in North America, these Asiatics were hunting them to eat them. They didn't know anything about riding horses. They knew nothing about riding horses. In fact, in ancient times, whites in Asia also used to hunt horses to eat them. The whole business of building chariots, learning how to ride horses, etc., that is probably a very white thing. And chariots were basically invented possibly by the Aryans or the Sumerians or one of those ancient civilizations. But the Aryans definitely were big time charioteers, and they went with their chariots and they made war and they conquered India. But whites were very much leading the charge with regard to chariot making. And the oldest chariots that have been made were found in Eastern Europe, in Bulgaria, I think. And it's kind of interesting that chariot riding preceded the tricky business of learning to ride a horse. And all sorts of things like stirrups and saddles and how you ride on a horse and control the horse, those things took a long period of time to refine and to improve. And whites did that kind of stuff. So those ancient Asiatics who moved into North America hunted horses to eat them, and they didn't know that you could ride a horse. And the horses were probably also killed more or less due to those same climatic conditions that occurred. There was a nasty, nasty set of climate change, really horrific stuff that happened in North America. And that is what killed most of the whites who were there. And maybe that also wiped out these horses. But the white man brought the horses from Europe, and the white man is basically responsible for the Indians learning how to ride horses. In the same way that when the white man arrived in Africa and elsewhere, there were all kinds of things that the blacks learned from the white man and got from the white man that they had no clue about before. So even things like the American Indians riding on horseback, that didn't exist. And I'm sure that there are many other things that they learned from the Europeans. So don't you believe that everybody else was peaceful and innocent, and meanwhile, they were also killing each other and engaging in all kinds of nasty business, scalping and torturing and all kinds of horrific stuff, just like the blacks. This business that the white man is evil, no, the white man is just somebody who has a better understanding of how nature works and how history works. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with our race or our civilization or the things that we did, ever. And if you believe all these people were innocent children who didn't know about evil, then you don't know anything about history. There are many more things I need to show you, and you'll see that lots of this Jewish and liberal stuff that you're hearing is a bunch of claptrap, and it's taken out of context, and they're using it to steal your country from under your feet. They are trying to steal Canada and America right from under the whites' feet, using a bunch of lies. Anyway, here is the show.
Music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic. Step on in to the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Space travel. Okay, welcome to Rock the Boat Radio right here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And Chris has been talking to Jan in South Africa. And we have to know what's going on there as well. And we have to understand that everything's corporate, and we don't have any governments, and they're all legal fictional persons, which is wrong. But anyways, we got you, Jan?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
I'm really happy that you're here. And Chris is here, and he's talked to you several times, I guess.
Yes.
And I'd really like to know what's going on in South Africa.
Well, South Africa, unfortunately, after the end of white rule, has been a story of just downhill, downhill, and more downhill, which is what we whites in Southern Africa feared. And I don't know if you know, but in 2019, I was in America and lucky enough also to get into Canada. And I gave a lecture called 50 Years of Race War in Southern Africa. And I don't know if you've watched that, but if you haven't, I urge you to. I had it filmed at the house of Paul Fromm. And people ought to see some of the stuff that comes from there. We whites in Africa, we knew all along that handing over to the blacks was a crazy, lunatic, stupid idea. And unfortunately, liberals and Jews try to hide the truth, and they try to pretend that all the things that we said were lies, etc. They were just a bunch of stupid racists who don't know anything about these wonderful people of other cultures and races. But when you mix all these people together, you get quite a nightmare. So, yeah, you're welcome to ask any questions that you want to ask, and I'll talk about any topic.
Yeah, what I look at, what today is World War III.
Yeah.
And, you know, they created the war, World War I, and America wouldn't sign on to League of Nations. And later on, they created World War II. And then America signed on to the UN. And they're all in Switzerland. And who protects the Vatican? The Swiss Guard. And when I was in school, in grade school, I asked the teachers, I said, how come Switzerland never got bombed? Oh, they claimed themselves as neutral. No, they're not neutral. They started the war. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And we have to bring our people forward so they understand what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I agree on the topic that we're in World War III, when I look at what Jews and liberals have done to the Western world, all across the Western world, by bringing in these hordes and hordes of Africans and other losers and stuff, they have set up the entire Western world for racial conflict and for future strife, unlike any of you people have known since maybe your forefathers came and colonized North America and fought the Indians. But you're in for a hell of a time. And I saw just yesterday that a guy put out a story that in Sweden, white Sweden that's always been at peace, etc., neutral in the last world war, etc., that Sweden now has to call in the army to fight crime. And that should let you know that when you bring in all these non-whites and you unleash them, you are in for the wildest ride of your life.
Well, this is the same thing. Like here in Canada, they have this century initiative, and they want to raise the population to 100 million people, which is going to eradicate the people that built the country. And, you know, the police are carrying the luggage across the border for the refugees. And we have thousands upon thousands of people that were born here living in tents. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Disgusting.
I've heard of this in other countries as well, where whites are now on the streets, and the quotes refugees, real name invaders, are actually given people's houses and put up in hotels. Let me tell you, at the end of the day, when I look at these things, I say to myself, these are Jewish ideas, and these ideas are, they've come and they've messed with the elite, and the elite are either stupid or they're anti-white, and they've fallen for these ridiculous, ridiculous notions, you know. And it's interesting, I've never heard of the term Century Initiative, but I had come to the conclusion that this is definitely some kind of policy. There is something real behind it. I was also looking, I was trying to understand these liberals, and in recent years, I dug up the work of Professor Carol Quigley, an American professor, who he's actually a Christian and a liberal, but actually not a bad guy. And he gave lots and lots of lectures. And the most important thing that he did was a thing called, he wrote a book called The Evolution of Civilization. And Quigley wrote this book, and he lectured for more than 30 years, I think at Harvard. And lots of people who are in government in America actually attended Quigley's lectures. And if you go, and I went through his book and I looked at it, and I could see that he actually tells you that the way that you create a new civilization is you bring people in, you get people to mix. You bring in large numbers of people and they mix together. But the other side of the coin is he saw it as the beginning of a new civilization, but it can also be the end of the previous civilization.
So, exactly.
And you know, there are people, who's that guy? Is it Lothrop Stoddard and other people who more than 100 years ago told people that if you start mixing races and stuff, that you're going to destroy civilization. And I can tell you from here in Africa, I grew up in Rhodesia, and we whites weren't many. We were less than 5% of the population, but we ruled the country. So we actually were an elite that ruled a multiracial country, actually. That's what we were. In Africa, the Boers and the whites of South Africa were also a minority who ruled a majority. And of course, one of the big problems that came about in Africa, our crime and our stupidity, is that there weren't many blacks in Africa when whites came here originally. The reason there's almost 2 billion of these people is because we fed them and we saved their lives. Medicine and food is the reason that it's basically European medicine and food from whites that has saved the blacks and allowed their population to explode, and now they are basically a plague. And you know, Africa is overflowing with them, and Africa is a failure, and now they're fleeing to other countries, as well as being encouraged by Jews and liberals and other scum to go to other countries. I mean, they're actually being, in some cases, even being paid and told to go to other countries. So, you know, now the black plague from Africa is now becoming a plague in Europe, and it's becoming a plague for the rest of you. And I cannot tell you, you know, you people are in for the wildest ride of your life, because these people are failures. They are failures in Africa, and Africa is actually an easy place to live in. These people are failures at running their own societies. They are failures, and now they are running away from their own failures. So you've got proven failures and losers coming into your nation, and, you know, Jews and liberals are telling you, no, no, these are good people. They're equal to the whites. They're going to be as productive as all nonsense, all big nonsense, total rubbish that. And South Africa is just going downhill as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is going on all over the world now. And, you know, they wreck countries, and then they the people don't put their foot down and take back their nation. Then they become refugees and pour into the other countries, which is absolutely wrong. But, you know, I talk to a lot of people who, I talk to a lot of black people and people from Afghanistan and all over the place. And most of them get it. They understand their country was destroyed, and they became refugees, and they came here. But most of them understand that this is all 100% fraud. And we, the people, have to take back our nations. And, you know, I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but everything here is corporate. We don't have a government. And it's all corporate. And it doesn't matter if it's the liberals or the conservatives that are in place. They're just the governing body of the corporation. And they just do as they're told. Bunch of puppets who want power, money, and fame. And they just do as they're told by the WEF and the UN and the Rothschilds and all the rest of them. And they just do as they're told. And that's wrong.
Yeah, it's
that is absolutely wrong.
It's absolutely disgusting. These modern politicians are so worthless, and they're so stupid. There are many things. Yeah. There are many things that I want to say about politics. You know, they are always claiming that they're busy fighting for democracy and that the Western world stands up for democracy. But there are many things that show me that there are some issues here. First of all, if you did allow real democracy, you'd allow the whites, who are the majority in Canada and America, to control the politics. But it's already quite obvious that somebody else has come and hijacked the politics already, and that somebody's yeah. come with money and they run the politics of the countries. And, you know, I mean, America, which I'm a bit more familiar with, there you've got the Democrats and the Republicans, and both of them carry out the same policies. Interestingly enough, this was also a topic that Professor Quigley wrote about a long time ago. He spoke about the fact that you actually can't allow countries to just chop and change as per the voting. So, you know, there are many issues that need to be sorted out. In that, if you are going to allow the people to have democracy, then, you know, you must accept what they want. And at the moment, I mean, I can see that vast number of white Americans like Trump, But look at how hard they are working to destroy Donald Trump, even though he's not even really a great threat. But the other thing about democracy that I want to say is that democracy has been subverted because democracy is controlled by all these secret groups and secret societies and people and Jews and all kinds of Freemasons and Jews floating around, and these people are pulling the strings and paying the bribes and taking control of your politics and giving money to this politician but denying it to that politician and so forth. So you've got people who are pulling the strings. That's not part of how democracy worked in ancient Rome and Greece, which is the basis for this. So something needs to be done about that. And the other thing is that I look at the voters and I say to myself, you know, the average white person is simply told, you know, get up in the morning, go to work, do your work, come home, watch TV, read the newspaper, and, you know, pay your taxes. And then once every 4 or 5 years, you just get a choice of who to vote for. But the reality is that I think that since if you want to take democracy seriously, you must either stop the control of the politicians or you must go and educate the voters. You know, the more I look at white voters in the West, I think that what Adolf Hitler did was a better idea, where he took the children and he taught them various things. And I think that whites need to be taught. Whites need to be given. Whites are missing out on a racial and political education. That when kids are small and they're going to school, they should have classes on race, and they should have classes on politics. They need to know that race works like this. This is how different races are. This is why they're different. This is what they're strengths and weaknesses are. This is what you can expect from them. And, you know that races work like this. And in the case of politics, they need to be told, you know, this is how politics works. There are people pulling the strings, this thing and that thing, and this is what liberalism means, and that's what that means. People need to be much more sophisticated, because I can see that, like in South Africa, I'm almost finished, I can see that in South Africa that lots of people are starting to wake up and say, oh, you know, things are wrong here. What do we do? And then in order to understand the situation, they have no knowledge of history. They have no knowledge of anything. And now they want to try and solve the problem, and they think that they just solved the problem by going at the next election and casting their vote for someone else. But the problem is too deep for that.
Well, here in Canada, when our forefathers came here to North America, and in 1791, the Legal Club showed up and put courts and jails in the Chartered Hudson's Bay Company. And they were telling our forefathers what they could and couldn't do. And our forefathers had a very strong spine, mind, and spirit, and just told the Hudson's Bay Company to shove off. You don't have any authority over us, which the government does not have any authority over you because it's a corporation. And so they got back to England or Britain, which is an empire club, hooked up with Rome. And they said, you started a parliament legislature. How's that working? Great. They don't get it. You better send that over here. And who created Canada? A chartered company. Who created Canada? The lawyers, liars, deceivers, and the Freemasons. So you had the boot of tyranny put back upon you. And it's been going on ever since. And I don't know if you know about the school system. I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but here it came from the Prussian system, which was to teach the children not to question or challenge so-called authority, be it the administration, the principal, the vice principal, or the teacher. And then when they become adults, they just bow down to whatever's told them, which is really ridiculous. And if you look up in etymology, which is the origins of the words, and you put in devil, you find parliament. And down below devil, you have demon. And you click on demon, you have democracy. It's not democracy, it's demonocracy, because democracy requires the consent of the people when the administration is going to put something through. And without the consent of the people don't have any, there's no democracy. There is no democracy. Because without the consent of the people, the corporation can just put in any rule or regulation they want without the consent of the people, which is wrong.
I'm with you. Yeah, the bottom line is that they claim that people are living under democracy, but it's not really so. And take, for example, the media. The media is something that if you look in the constitutions of most Western countries, everyone's got a right to free speech. But then you discover, there's all this money, and there are people who own the media. And then the media starts telling you what you are allowed and not allowed to say. But hold on, the Constitution says that I have a right to say what I want to say. And suddenly this moneyed business is now suddenly telling me something else. And, it looks to me like when it comes to, if you want democracy, then everyone must participate. And everyone must be checking what the hell is going on and pushing back. And the other thing that I also find kind of weird is the existence of political parties, because a long time ago when the Boers in South Africa created their own republics, which lasted only for a couple of decades, then the British came and invaded them. But when they created their own republics, they didn't have political parties, and you voted for someone, and that person you voted for represented you. And so if that person doesn't do what you want him to do, then, the people who voted for him can get rid of him and vote for someone else. And I see lots and lots of structures that white people no longer have control over. You talk about corporations, but corporations also blends into the media. And all of these things are money, and somebody else is behind it. And I find it quite horrific how especially the Americans are struggling to control their own politics. White Americans have almost lost control of the politics in their own country.
Yeah, I mean we have to put our foot down. I talked to a chief up near Hudson's Bay. And they did a really good job. And this is all we got to do, is just put our foot down and say no. But the province was going to put a mining company in their district. And a few of the men said no, and they got thrown in jail. But then the community came together and put their foot down and said, we did not consent to this. So you can't put a mining company in our district. And then the mining company is going to sue them for $30 billion. But the people just stood their ground and said, no, you're not going to do this. And then the province wrote the mining company a check for $5 million, which we're on the hook for. And when people really understand what's going on here, it's all corporate. And most of our prime ministers here in Canada went to a Jesuit Jew school and were trained to move the agendas forward, which is absolutely ridiculous. But most of the people, like you said, most of the people go to work, come home, have supper, and sit in front of the TV and just get propagandized and indoctrinated into believing what the media is saying to them.
And that's definitely got to end. People have to push back and fight back. But I do think that the problem is so deep that unless the people are educated and they understand things, they won't really know what to do. And that is one of the areas where I'm a big fan of what Adolf Hitler did in Germany, because he spent a lot of time educating people. And there's definitely lots of stuff that people need to know. Otherwise they have no clue what is really going on. And education is important. And then the other thing is to organize and to fight back. I did like the kind of fight back that came as a result of COVID. I thought that COVID was something where the elites went too far and they didn't expect the pushback that they got, even that amazing pushback in Canada.
Well, the UN and the World Economic Forum, they signed an agreement in June of 2019, just before COVID came out, and said that they were going to use climate and COVID as a trigger to reset the world. Well, where do they have the authority to reset the world? They don't. And why people bow down to this nonsense is ridiculous, because all you are, they just keep picking your pockets all the time. We're all assets, slaves of the corporation. And why in the hell would we put up with that? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
we're supposed to be men and women. And they turned us into legal fictional persons, which gives them the authority over us, which they really don't have any authority, just like our forefathers told the Hudson's Bay Company to shove off. But most of the people think that the so-called government, which the media keeps calling it a government, which it's not, the people just bow down to whatever is told to them. And that doesn't make any sense. We have to stand up and say no. And we don't need bombs and bullets. We don't need. We are. There's a lot more of us than there are them. And we can just say no. Because what you're doing is fraud. You're harming all the people, which is against the law. So we're going to take back our towns and cities and do what our forefathers came here to do, build us a new country out from under the boot of tyranny. But the tyranny's been put back upon us again, and we have to get rid of it.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that Canada and South Africa share a lot of common history, because we are created by the British. And so a lot of the evil that was organized in Britain has come to Canada, South Africa, and possibly even Australia. all the Freemasonry and all that kind of weird, yep. all that kind of weird stuff, and the Jews that came from there. I don't know if you know about the history of the Boers and the Rothschilds. Wanting the gold and diamonds of the Boers, and that's how Britain came to kill the Boers 120 years ago and all that kind of stuff. But, the United Nations, I must tell you, is an evil organization. I hate the United Nations. I hate that thing with a passion. I've studied here in Africa. When we whites were busy fighting the blacks and their sponsors, when we fought them, the United Nations was often on the side of the blacks and our enemies. And the United Nations was a nasty organization. The things that the United Nations got up to in Africa.
Here in the media, in Canada, it's all separation, right? And they're arresting the white people, but all over the internet and in the media, Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Black Lives Matter, but white people don't matter? I mean, this is all division of the people. And it's really sad because most of the people, some of the people, like what you said in South Africa, the people are finally starting to wake up now because the rent is so high. The cheapest lot in town here in my town is $260,000. And a new house costs you over $1 million. And how are you going to pay for that? Right? And it's the people are starting to wake up, just like you said in South Africa. So they're starting to scratch their heads going, what the hell's going on here? And we can't allow them to get to the finish line. We must not allow that to happen.
Absolutely.
Because if we allow that to happen, then all the children and grandchildren and those who come after us are absolutely 100% screwed. And we have a duty to our people.
I totally agree with you that, these things are all long-term issues, and the next generation and the generation after that, they are just going to find themselves in an absolute nightmare and a lunatic asylum if people if we don't push back. I totally agree with you, and I just wanted to say a few things about the United Nations. The United Nations. There was a time in Southern Africa when there was decolonization going on and white rule was starting to be given away in the early 1960s, and the United Nations actually ran a war in what is now Zaire. It used to be the Belgian Congo, and they actually ran a war there, and they sent European and Indian troops to come on the side of blacks who were communists and fight against an alliance of whites and blacks who were anti-communist and pro-Western. That was the country of Katanga. That was before Rhodesia and the Portuguese and the South Africans started resisting black rule. But the United Nations was there. Later on, the United Nations was also in other countries when whites handed over to blacks, and the United Nations came with their military forces, and the United Nations even helped the blacks who were communists and far leftists. They helped them to win the elections. Those kinds of things that happened in what is now known as Namibia. The United Nations is an evil, disgusting, filthy organization. when Adolf Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany, the very first thing he did was he left the League of Nations. The League of Nations is the forerunner to the United Nations. The United Nations, in my viewpoint, that thing should be chased out of every country. Somebody comes from the United Nations and sets foot in your country, they should be hounded out of the country and kicked up their asses and chased out the country immediately. Who the hell are you to come and sit in this country and tell us what to do? Bugger off. Because that thing is so anti-white. That thing is so anti-white. I've seen all the things it's done against us. I hate that thing with a passion.
What you just said, kick him in the ass. And I tell the old people here in my town that if our forefathers could get out of their graves, they would kick you so hard in the ass, your butt cheeks would be up around your ears for being so stupid. You know?
Absolutely. It's,
but a lot of the older people now that I talk to are starting to understand that we didn't never had a democracy. All we had was a corporation. And they're starting to understand that now. And they are not too happy.
Well, so
and I do believe that, we... We have the right to stop this.
We must.
And we just got to keep talking to the people so they wake up.
Absolutely.
And once the communities come together, they can take it over again. You know? And get rid of the UN and the WEF and the Rothschilds and all the rest of the nonsense and get back to being men and women who care about their people, because the corporation doesn't give a damn about the people.
Exactly.
It's an asset slave of the corporation.
No,
and my father, I've said this before, but when my father died, we went to the cemetery, which is part of the corporate municipality. And when we finished burying my father, I went and looked at the tombstone. And was my father's name on the tombstone? No. The all-cap name, the legal fictional person, was on the tombstone. And that just meant that my father was no longer an asset slave of the corporation. They couldn't make any money off him anymore. And we got to stop this, you know. They don't have the right to make these rules and regulations without our consent. They have no right. And... I've been, you know, the corporation, when I go to, my mother was in the hospital, and I talked to, I never wore a mask in the hospital, and they all agreed to it, and then I took some peaches from my mother, and then the administrator came out and says, "Can I talk to you in the office?" I said, "Sure." And he gave me a policy paper, and I pulled it out of my pocket, and I said, "This is absolute junk." Then another guy came in, and he left. The administrator left. And we had a nice chat, and... But I didn't see them. There was three police inside the door. And when I got up to leave, I got slammed into the wall and handcuffed. And I was charged with trespassing at a hospital. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
And then they were
going to tow my car away. And I said, no, you can't do that. And they backed off. And now I have police waving at me and shaking my hand. We got to wake them up. You know, my forefather, or my uncle, when he was a cop, it didn't last too long. But the chief of police was telling my uncle, you have to write tickets. And he said, but they didn't cause anybody any harm. And it's just revenue streams, the same as Rome. And the police chief kept telling him, you got to write tickets. And my father-in-law just told him they didn't cause any harm, so I can't write him a ticket. And after about 6 months, he quit. I mean, it's just so ridiculous what's going on here. People just keep bowing down to this nonsense.
Yeah,
and we got to bring them up.
Yeah, we
didn't want to speak, Ron.
I just wanted to touch base on some of the points that you raised. Educating whites is very important. I regard it as critically important. And the whites in South Africa who are waking up, the whites in South Africa are starting to wake up. Not all, but most. And as hardship also comes, as people struggle and people experience hardship, etc., then people start asking questions, you know. And of course, we've got race laws. We've got, here are these blacks who are now in charge, and they say that you know, we're away from apartheid now, and we're all free. But they come and they make laws against whites. They've made laws against whites. There's something like more than 117 legal statutes against whites in South Africa. So we're a minority. We're a minority, and the majority is making laws against us that work against us regarding jobs, regarding businesses, all kinds of things that we are restricted from doing, etc. So, you know, whites are now beginning to realize that, hey, just look at the blacks. They're just stealing the money, doing what they want to do. The blacks are being funded by these corporations, by the way. All Jews and the super rich are hobnobbing with those same blacks that are making the anti-white laws against whites in South Africa. And it amazes me that in North America and Canada, everyone is concerned, oh, watch out for the minorities. You've got to look, you know. They don't care about the white majority. They concern themselves with the non-white minority. But here in South Africa, the white minority is kicked in the teeth all the time. So there's tons of anti-white stuff going down. The blacks themselves, they don't really care. The truth of the matter is, in Africa, what they don't tell you about blacks in Africa is that at the end of the day, these people don't really care. And the people who get into power, they're in power for the sake of money. They are funded. They enjoy their lives. They don't care even about their own black people that much. And at the end of the day, the best thing that ever happened to blacks in Africa was being colonized by whites. And once white rule disappeared, these people just go downhill. And that's happening all across Africa. And, you know, they own Africa. And Africa is actually the richest continent on Earth. I don't know if you know this. But the total mineral wealth of Africa is greater than that of the whole of the rest of the world. And Southern Africa, Africa south of the equator, is the richest mineral region on the whole planet. It is, in minerals, what oil is to the Middle East. So, you know, handing over all these things and getting it away from whites, now the whole thing is a mess. And these countries are going down, And these blacks are foolish, they're idiots, they are low IQ, they don't rule themselves properly. And now those same corporates and Jews and elite are now saying to them, oh, go to Europe, go to America, etc. I'm horrified by every decision, literally every decision that's taking place on the planet is anti-white. And you're right that ultimately it comes back to money. You'll find Jews and all those scum there.
They want to take down North America. Because once they take down North America, and they've been taking down so many other countries and nations that, like they said, they want to control everybody and everything on the planet. And we must not allow them to do that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, resistance to these hideous, disgusting people. And who are these people? Who are these people to even want to tell us what to do? And I'm amazed at how arrogant they are and how they just waltz in and they want to tell everybody how to do things. And they aren't even this rule by money is an evil, evil thing. We really need to get white people in control of white societies. And I must tell you that diversity and all that, that thing is a nightmare, and that thing will not work. You know, all of history, all of the lessons of history show that diversity and mixing groups of people together, that this does not work. And if you want a first world nation and you want high standards, you've got to have whites. You can only attain that truly in a white society. Or a white-dominated society. That's the only place you can have it. And we must look after ourselves. I personally don't see that we owe anyone else anything. We should look after ourselves, take care of our own business, of our own nations, our own politics, and our own future. All these blacks wanted freedom, right? All these blacks and Asians and people in Latin America and South America, they wanted their freedom. Now, the Asians are not too bad. They're pretty high IQ and they've managed to survive. But these low IQ blacks from Africa who can't keep the lights on, they can't keep the electricity running, those people are, you know, I really don't feel sorry for them in any way, shape or form. And I don't see that we owe them anything. I'm very much a believer that whites must have lots more children and we must create our own societies and do our own thing and rule ourselves. And anyone who tells us that we're not allowed to have a white society and to live by ourselves and do our own thing, you know, nobody has the right to tell us that, and we should spit in their faces, kick them up their asses and send them packing. They have no right to do that. And I mean, North America, if it wasn't for whites moving to America and creating America and Canada are created by whites, period. If whites didn't go to North America, there wouldn't be the civilization that exists in North America now. And, you know, if you...
Dan, I want you to keep going with this thread, but is that why they call us first world countries?
Yes, that is the truth. Yeah, first world is top notch. You know, European standard. And do you know that South Africa was the only country on the entire African continent out of 54 countries in Africa? South Africa was the only country on the African continent that was ever first world for a period of time, and that was due to the Boers and the local whites, you know, laying down the standards. Of course, all of you were told that the system was evil. Oh, the system of apartheid was evil, evil. But, You don't understand. You've got to control these other people. These other people can't look after themselves, okay? Like if, let's go back to North America. If whites did not go to North America and colonize North America, you'd probably still have Indians living in their teepees and doing their thing. I think whites even brought them horses. I don't think they had horses before you people came there.
That's a true story, Jan. That's a true story. And I've said this on the broadcast a few times. They were 2% of this land at the time. They weren't a nation. They were killing each other, and same in the United States. And they got the only reason they learned to ride horses is because we gave them to them.
There you go. And I'll bet you that when I look at some of the problems we had with the blacks when we first came to Africa, it's very similar to what happened to you guys and the Indians. Very similar. We ran into all the same issues, and in the end, you people had to dominate them. And now you get Jews and liberals coming and telling you, oh no. No, you're cruel. You did this, you did that. But you know what? At the end of the day, when I look at history, and I love studying history, when I look at history, I say to myself, I've come to this conclusion that what we call civilization, which is really, we should really call it European civilization, okay? What we call civilization is something is the way that the European people, in other words, whites have figured out a way to live and a way to organize. And that method is the best method. It's the best method bar none, okay? And let me give you a little thought experiment to engage in. Take a look at any, go to YouTube or wherever, and go and look at any nation on the planet, okay? Just go and find some videos. Pick any nation you want and go and look at what does their city look like? What is the layout of their city? How do they build their cities? Go and look at how do their armies work? How does their army look and work and function? How does their government work? And you will see that every single nation on earth, even the great Chinese, who aren't that great at all, by the way, even the great Chinese, okay, everybody, including all the blacks, including all the people in the Middle East, including people in Latin and South America, every single group of them, you'll look at them and you'll see everybody is basing their stuff on what came out of Europe. Because the European systems are the best systems. These are the only ways that you even structure a society, run a country, build an infrastructure, and get some kind of productivity out of it. And nobody else can do better. Okay? You can go and look at everything that everybody's got. They are all copying what the white man did. Because until the white man came, they didn't have a better way. All of them.
And okay, Jan, can you come back for the next hour?
It'll be a pleasure.
Yeah, okay. We're on break right now. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
¶¶ travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Walk the Boat with Bon Stevens, only at freedomslips.com.
You got the notion. Said I'd like to know when you got the notion. Rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
I don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Ever since our voyage of love began, your touch is...
Okay, welcome back to Rock the Boat. Jan, do you have a website?
Yes, I do have two websites. Almost forgot to tell you.
Can you say what they are?
Wait, hang on,
guys. I I want everybody to know what Jan does, but you've got to mention to listeners about how important it is to support the network that runs on a shoestring budget, and they don't take corporate funds. So if you could bring that up first, Ron, and then I want to hear Jan's channels.
Well, it's very important. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com is listener supported. And there are several different ways that you can donate. And I don't care if it's $5 or $50,000. We have to keep this station on the air. And so please donate. And I'm thinking that Jan might want to be on the air on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because he has a lot of knowledge.
I'm thinking if I can talk with Jan, I can make that happen.
Yeah, that would be good. If Jan could come on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, it would be good. We need to know your websites.
Okay, thank you very much. My main website is a website called historyreviewed.com, historyreviewed.com. And then my secondary website is africancrisis.info. I originally, when I first woke up to political issues 20 years ago, I started African Crisis. And my goal there was just to tell white people in the rest of the world that, in Africa, these quite good blacks that are taking over from the whites in Africa are a bunch of communists, and they are nothing like you believe them to be. They're actually scum and garbage and murderers, actually. But in recent years, I did History Reviewed, and I also have Telegram channels on the Telegram platform for History Reviewed and African Crisis. You can just search on Telegram. They are public. So those are my main things. And yeah, it would be nice to, we can talk about all kinds of ways of getting information out, because getting information out is the most critical thing. Whites are dying from lack of knowledge. That's what's killing our entire civilization.
Exactly.
Are you, Jan, maybe I missed something. I just went away for a bit. But you have BitChute.
Yes.
You have Odyssey.
Yes.
People are confused because we all know YouTube, but you have I believe you still have an account, a toned down version on YouTube as well?
No.
You're totally kicked off.
I've got nothing on YouTube. YouTube banned me several times.
No kidding.
YouTube banned me several times, and it was like PayPal. PayPal banned me about 8 times as well. There are places I cannot even go. I can't even touch them. they toss me off. Twitter won't allow me anywhere close to it. I am on Gab.
The thing, Jan, is
Gab. Okay, so you've got Gab, Odyssey. I'm sorry. I just walked away for a bit and came back. So you've got Gab, Odyssey, History Reviewed, which is really, really nice. Really well done website. And anybody, I recommend you, well, you can Google it, I think, and still get it.
Possibly, yeah, possibly. But historyrevue.com and africancrisis.info. If people get there, then they get to my stuff. I give away free books as well and all kinds of things.
Yeah, the thing is that they don't want any truth going to the people.
Totally, totally. They got to keep you stupid. You know, I used to watch that stupid scumbag Bill Clinton. I can't stand the Clintons. That Bill Clinton, and I used to... There was a time when Clinton gave a speech somewhere in America, and he said, "Oh, it's not long now, and white people are not going to be the majority." And all the white liberals cheered. They cheered. "Oh, it's going to be great when we're not white anymore." Are you insane? You people are crazy. You have no idea what you are opening, what you're getting yourselves into. And you know, the whole history about our race and our peoples. You know, we whites in Southern Africa, we weren't many. We were a tiny number of whites. The grand total number of whites who lived in Africa south of the equator was close to about 6 million, maybe close to 7 million at its peak for a very short period of time. We were just a tiny handful of whites who controlled an area that was bigger than Europe, okay? I'm not joking with you. And the problem is we were a small number, but everybody said, "Oh, no." Then the liberals and the Jews were coming, and the communists, and they were all saying, "Oh, well, you see, you people, you're colonialists, okay?" But hold on. Canada's history is colonial. America's history is colonial. Australia's history is colonial. New Zealand is colonial. And I'm not against colonialism. I am for the expansion of the European people. I say that if our people want to do things, we go and we do what we want to do. And I don't have any moral compunction about whites having to sit in this place and, you know, trying to corner whites into being in one place. I look at what our civilization and our race has achieved. Our race has brought the only sunshine that exists on this freaking planet, all right? Our race, if it wasn't for our race is exclusively responsible for everything from trains, cars, electricity, freaking plumbing, space travel, the internet, radio, all of that comes from the European people, all of it. Virtually everything was invented by whites. And so if anybody wants to come and say, "Oh, white people, they just destroy this and destroy that," then I just want to say to other races, hey, you go into your own society, you do your own thing, and, you know, if you can do better than us, good luck to you. I'd like to see what you can do, because chances are you can't. And history has shown that they can't. And this notion that, you people must now bow down to the Eskimos and to the, quotes, First Nations. All that's a bunch of gumph. If you really look at the history of the world, what is the real history of the world? The real history of the world is that humans have evolved or come about in various places, and humans have moved around across the face of the earth. And you know what? The history before written history is a history where people moved around, slaughtered other people that they found, even exterminated them completely, and then settled in the spot where they'd killed everybody. That scientists have found all kinds of proof of that. I remember one day I even read a fascinating article once by some archaeologists, where they were saying that 60,000 years ago, there was a population of blacks. Somehow blacks had managed to get into South America. And those people that are known as your First Nations, the quotes First Nations, the Asiatics who basically came into North America, they came down through North America and they slaughtered and wiped out all the blacks. All these black people that were in South America, they wiped them out completely. They were gone. And so they are the colonizers and the exterminators of the people who were there before. And if you go and you look at all of history, you'll see that in Africa, let's take Africa as an example. In Africa, there are other races in Africa. There are other non-white races. There are people known as Khoi or San. The Khoi people, the Khoi and San people are also known by the name Bushmen. Okay? Now, those people are not black. They are not black African like the blacks that you associate with Africa. The smaller people, the more primitive people. They lived in much of Africa south of the Sahara, south of the equator. The people that you regard as Africans, their proper name is actually Bantu. And they come from West Africa. Basically, if you look where Nigeria is now, that region, West Africa, that is the place where the black Africans really come from. And they came down, they migrated from West Africa down through to South Africa in a period of 2,000 years. In fact, they had not even reached the southern tip of Africa when the whites were already landing by ship in the southern portion of Africa. So whites actually, when whites landed in the southern part of Africa, whites found these Khoi people were there. And do you know that whites were in Africa for about 170 years before they ran into the black people for the first time? Can you believe that? They met them at the Great Fish River in what is known as the Eastern Cape in South Africa. That is where whites and blacks met for the first time. And now, those blacks who came down from West Africa, they hunted down and slaughtered the Khoi and the San people who lived in these regions. The Khoi and the San didn't have big populations, but they were slaughtered by the blacks. And later on, there's another part of South African history you've never heard of, okay? And that is that in the 1820s, the greatest genocide in the history of South Africa took place in the middle of South Africa among blacks. Blacks slaughtered each other by the million. And it was witnessed in the 1820s. Whites who were hunters and travelers went and saw it, and they even picked up the children who were the survivors when their entire families had been wiped out. That is what Africa was like before the white man came, okay? So anyone who wants to tell you, oh no, Africa, the black people were living in peace and they were all happy, and then the white man came and he ruined it all, that's a bunch of nonsense. Total garbage, total nonsense. And I'm sure that the same is true for North America. The tiny bit that I know about North American history, the itsy-bitsy little bit that I know about it, it sounds like it's very much a similar thing. That those tribes also fighting among each other, killing each other, doing their thing. And they were not going anywhere special until the white man arrived. When whites arrived, whites came and we brought our technology and our stuff, and we started settling and looking after ourselves. And, you know, off we go. But we come from a superior civilization, Europe. And, you know, I think that if you want to know my view of what I think Africa should be, I wish that 100 million whites had come to Africa and that Africa had been turned into another United States or Canada. I must tell you that to me is what I would have liked, what I think is possible. Because these other people don't know how to do anything. They lived in huts, they hunted with spears, they died of disease, and you know, and after all the stuff that we did for them, they were ungrateful and they were filled with hatred. And I don't see that these other races that we've coexisted with, that what has come out of it is beneficial to us. I don't see that we should even care about them in any way, shape, or form. And you people are being inundated with lots and lots of liberal guilt tripping about how evil you are and how bad you are. But you know what? If you had not, if your people had not gone there and done those things, all of North America would still be the same. They'd still be living in teepees. They'd still be hunting each other down and so forth. There'd be none of the progress that has taken place at all.
You know, Jan, I've said this on the broadcast, very similar, but you have a more eloquent way of explaining it. But that's what I said in previous broadcasts. I read the Canadian Broadcast Corporation news every morning just so I know what the enemy's up to. And we just had Indigenous, was it, I don't know, day or week, you know, feeling sorry for the Indigenous. But they everything you just said, that's what they do. They were busy killing each other. And stealing the women and children, the women for obvious reasons, and the children to indoctrinate them. But they couldn't get above putting them in tents. They had no technology. They had nothing. And that's just totally incredible. I have to ask you a question. I know the answer, but when the Dutch came in and the Boers came in, there was nobody in South Africa, no niggers or anybody utilizing that area at the time. But the white man came in and figured out, you know, how we gotta, you know, fertilize this land and make gardens and grow cattle. And they ended up paying, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, they ended up paying it was the Zulus and whoever else, and saying, "Look, it, you guys aren't utilizing this land. We're gonna birth it." And this going back a long time, right? If you know, you can correct anything I'm saying when I'm done, but they went in, they fertilized it, they cleaned it up. And they paid for it, and because there was no niggers going down there at that time, because it was, they didn't know how to cultivate it. And is that correct, or make?
Okay,
tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay, you've got it more or less right, and I want to just mention a few other things before I forget them. Let me just want to finish focusing a little bit on the liberal guilt trip and the bullshit that you guys are hearing from liberals and Jews and so forth. Make no mistake, you know, in my studies of history and I've watched the blacks in Africa, I've watched them taking over from us. I've watched what they do after they've taken over, and I've looked at all these people and listened to them. And there's a very important message I want to tell all white people that these liberals and Jews never tell you. And it is this: they come to you and they guilt trip you on the basis that, oh, your forefathers were evil and you did this and you're evil and blah, 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 and you did all these nasty things to those people, blah, etc. But let me tell you something else. Go, and if you had to give any of those other people a chance to kill us, if black people in Africa, If black people in Africa could figure out how to kill us all, to kill the remaining whites here, let me tell you, they would kill us tomorrow, and they'd dance on our corpses, and they would party, and they would drink beer, and they'd have sex, and they'd be so happy that they killed us all, okay? Now, in the same vein, I will bet you that the Indians in North America, those quotes First Nations, if they could have slaughtered you all and danced on your corpses, they would have. And there are instances where your people were killed and your people were tortured and so forth. So let me tell you something. Never listen to these liberals and Jews, because the part that they leave out is that if the white man becomes weak enough, the others will come to kill you. And they have no compulsion over not killing you. They will be so happy to slaughter you. And if you've followed any of the stuff here in South Africa in recent times, just go and look up Julius Malema. Go and look up Julius Malema and videos of Julius Malema. You'll see Julius Malema in South Africa in recent months, even, where he's in a stadium full of blacks, and he's telling them, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, and the entire stadium of blacks erupts and cheers, yes, kill them all. So whenever these Jews and liberals come to you with your guilt trip, just remember, if your forefathers were not strong and brave and able to overcome the Indians, then you would probably not be alive. You know, so don't forget what our ancestors did, you know, centuries ago. That if our ancestors were weak, we would have been destroyed. And you only have to look at the history of Europe. Take a look at the history of Europe, for example. Europe, where whites have lived in Europe for 45,000 years. And yet you'll see that in the 1300s, the Mongols came. The Mongols came and they invaded, and they were invading and harassing the whites in Europe for 100 or 200 years. And the Germans and the Teutonic Knights had to fight off the invasions from these Asians. Then you go and you look at more recent times, when the Ottoman Empire existed, and when basically the Muslims were a superpower in the Middle East, and when the Ottoman Empire controlled the entire Mediterranean Sea, and they were going and they were grabbing white women and white children from beaches and grabbing men and so forth and abducting them back to the Ottoman Empire. When they invaded Eastern Europe, they invaded Bulgaria and Romania and all those places. They invaded up to the gates of Vienna in Austria, and you had to have the people from Poland coming to help the other whites to beat off the racial attacks from the Middle East. So, you know, let's put everything in perspective, that, that whites have experienced big attacks that have threatened our civilization, and it was racial, and in some cases, the fighting carried on for hundreds of years. It took whites hundreds of years to reestablish control over what is Europe. So, you know, don't let anybody fool you into thinking that, oh no, if the white man had just sat around and just done nothing, that everyone would have left him in peace. No, if the others had the chance, they would have come and killed us. It's simply a case that our forefathers were cleverer and stronger and more determined and more technologically advanced. That's why we're here. And we should be thankful for that. And we shouldn't let all this junk come into our heads and make us now think that, we're so cruel. Rubbish. I'm telling you, the blacks would slit our throats tomorrow. So would many of the others if they had a chance. If we weren't as strong as we are, they would have wiped us out. And so never let this guilt tripping get to you. You shouldn't even be listening to this garbage. It has no historical validity at all. regarding the blacks and the Boers and so forth. You must know that you said that the place was uninhabited. You know, by modern day standards, you could probably say that, because the number of people who really were here were very few. And when the whites arrived here, the number of blacks and the number of Khoi and so were very few. It was very few compared to the kinds of populations that we're used to these days. So you are right that the populations were low, and you are right that there are many places that they did not even want to live. And for example, about the Boers and obtaining land, you are right that the Boers did go and speak to various chiefs. In one case, they went to the Zulu chief and they went and struck a deal with him because they wanted to settle land to the south of a certain river. And they went and they struck a deal with the guy, and they carried out the deal. And then later the chief actually slaughtered all the whites, actually. But you are right that whites have gone to blacks. Whites have gone to blacks and have struck deals with them. I actually want to do a special video just about some of these deals, because some of them are very interesting, and liberals and Jews don't like to talk about that anymore. But there are proper deals, written contracts that whites wrote, like, for example, what is now Zimbabwe, which was Rhodesia, where I was born. There is a thing called the Rudd Concession. And the Rudd Concession was a meeting between the whites and the blacks. And the whites said, listen, we want to come. We'd like to mine over here. We'd like to have this chunk of territory. What do you want in return? And the blacks went and specified what they wanted. And by the way, the blacks wanted lots of weapons. The blacks wanted lots of weapons. And so that was the deal. Okay, we'll give you all these muskets and all these bullets and much more. Eh? They wanted all kinds of things. And most of it was military. Eh? So the whites paid the blacks in the military with the military weapons that the blacks wanted. And then the whites went and settled and started doing their mining. And then a couple of years later, the blacks then started attacking the whites. So, you know, have we struck deals with the blacks? Did we negotiate with them? The answer is yes. There's lots and lots and lots of examples. I did a video about Dutchmen in South Africa and how the Dutch negotiated with the blacks. So, you know, there are lots of examples where we did go and we did deal with them very nice and cordially and honestly up front. We actually didn't come and just shoot them and that kind of thing. None of that. People came and they traded with them and they talked to them and had meetings and people had parties, and, you know, that's how the thing started. It was all friendly like in the beginning. So, you know, it's not like the white man just comes and just shoots everybody and just disturbs the peace. No, not, it's nothing like that at all. And there's lots of literature where you can read up on what actually happened. And the area that you're thinking of where the blacks were not in, where the blacks didn't live, is in that great genocide that took place in the 1820s, there were blacks who lived in, they lived in the region where I now live, which is the Johannesburg, Pretoria area, the center of South Africa. And blacks came from the coast, and the blacks slaughtered all the blacks living in the middle of what is now South Africa. And so that is where the Boers came. And the Boers came and they saw, hey, this place is depopulated. Everyone's been killed. There's nobody here. And so that's why the Boers then said, hey, maybe we can move in here and we can start living here. And that is how they created the Boer Republic of the Transvaal. So that's how that happened. And another thing about the blacks is the blacks, often when they migrate along the coastlines because the weather by the coast is much nicer. There's lots more rain. It's much more, the climate is much better. And then deeper in South Africa, you've got semi-desert, and people, and you don't find blacks living in the semi-desert in South Africa. The only people who live in the semi-desert in South Africa are whites, actually. The nastiest part of South Africa is a place called the Karoo. It's horrible. It looks like the moon. It's worse than Nevada. And the only people who live there really are mostly whites and some coloureds. Blacks don't like to live there. Blacks live in all the nice easy places where it's easy to live. And that's another thing is I was watching the other day. I saw a video that somebody put out about black children in North Africa and the black children need food. Black children need food and they're waiting for food to come from Russia and Ukraine. And I was just looking at, and then somebody was saying, oh, look at that. An American did this video and he said, oh, look at that. It's poor little black children. They can't go to the shopping mall. You know, in Africa, it's so tough. No, it's not tough in Africa, okay? Africa is an awesome place to live. It's actually a freaking awesome place to live. Most of Africa's got tons of rainfall. It is warm. It is lovely to live here. And wherever whites settled, whether it was Portuguese, French, Germans, English, Dutch, doesn't matter where they went, they loved Africa. They started farming and growing things on a massive scale. Africa, under colonial rule, used to be a food exporter. Just a few decades ago, 60 years ago, Africa was a food exporter. Under black rule, it's not a food exporter. Now they don't grow any food anymore. They killed the white farmers. They aren't interested in farming. And so now they import. Much of Africa now imports food. And it's because they're lazy and they're stupid. That's why it works like that. And I actually did a show with an American just yesterday. An American who had recently traveled to West Africa and Nigeria. And so I said to him, so what does it look like to you? And he said to me, he said, you know, it's so lush there. He said the soil is so fertile. Anything can grow there. And exactly. Most of Africa is fertile. They don't, it's actually insane. It's really insane, actually. That wheat is grown up in the north, there in Russia and Ukraine, where the weather is insanely cold and miserable, and that you've got basically whites growing wheat in a difficult climate and then selling the wheat to blacks in Africa who live in a wonderful climate, but they're too lazy and stupid to grow their own food. And final thing that I'll say also is you know, in the time of apartheid, we gave the blacks pieces of territory where they could grow their own stuff. I've got unfinished videos on that as well, where I've got photos and stuff that I need to show people of what those places actually looked like, because I traveled through there and I took photographs. And then, you know, blacks under apartheid were given territory and they could build their houses anywhere they wanted. They didn't have to buy land. They didn't have to buy land. And they didn't have to buy land in order to grow crops. They could grow crops anywhere they wanted in their tribal territory. And I've often said that we whites in South Africa should actually petition our stupid government for a Bantustan, a homeland for whites. Because if they gave us a homeland for whites, even if they gave us the worst land in the country, I can tell you that whites would move there, and in no time at all, you'd see us building stuff, and we'd be happy as hell. And they moan and groan that we gave them Bantustans. You gave us Bantustans, apartheid, you chased us away, you gave us Bantustans, we had to live in the Bantustans. If you had to give whites Bantustans, you'll see how whites will love it. Whites will be packing their bags, going there, building their houses, starting to farm, building businesses. It'll be fun in the sun. The blacks know that if they gave us our own Bantustan, that we'd make a huge success of it. So that topic will never come up. But all these people who are complaining and moaning, it's because they're useless and stupid. That's the real answer.
I 100% agree with you. That's why we have you on. unfortunately for me, I would love to move there, but my government won't allow me to.
Yeah. Because,
you know the game. They won't give me a passport. They won't give me a visa. But otherwise, I would run for that jungle. And I have the knowledge to help make things better.
I'm sure you do. You know, we are not a lady.
Anyways, I think Ron, I think the host wants to chime in. Go ahead, Ron, I'll let you.
Well, we all have a duty, just like they do in South Africa. We all have a duty to our people. And what the liberals, the conservatives, and the Jews all have to say is that anybody that speaks the truth, then we're labeled as white supremacists, which is absolutely ridiculous. And so it tends to fear the people and get them to bow down. And we all have a duty to take control of our nation. And if we don't take control of the nation, those who come after us are screwed. And we can't allow that to happen. And the idea that they want to raise the population from 40 million to 100 million with all these refugees, then the white people are gone. Simple as that. Simple as that. And we have a duty. Our forefathers who came here from Europe came here to build us a new house out from under the boot of tyranny. And the tyranny was put back upon us. And we have to remove the tyranny and take back our nation so that we, the people, have control. Now, with the corporation, they can make any rule or regulation they want without your consent. And they can't do that. You can do whatever the hell you want to do as long as you don't harm anybody. And you can do whatever you want to do. But that's not what they do. They just keep locking you down. And it really irritates me when I go for a walk at night. Everybody in the house seems to be watching the television, which is really irritating, because you go to work, you come home, you have supper, and you just sit in front of the TV, sucking up the propaganda and the indoctrination until you go to bed, which makes the people really, really stupid. And we have to turn that around. Our forefathers were smart, but our people now are not too bright. And we got to wake them up. And then we take back our nation.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you said that once or twice.
Yes, I've said that a lot of times.
I totally agree with what you're saying, but Jan.
Yes.
Did you fall asleep?
No, I'm listening all the way.
Okay. I have to mention this. You and I discussed it, but you have heard of Leslie Borey.
Yes, Leslie Borey and I had exchanges via emails on a number of occasions. So,
yeah.
And he did send me a video that he did once. And then later, I didn't hear from him for a long time. And then I heard that he'd been arrested, but I don't know that I didn't get properly updated on what exactly happened to him. And I'd appreciate knowing.
Well, I helped get him on. He had his own broadcast on Revolution Radio. And after his second one, he got hit by the SWAT team. They kicked his door in, and they arrested him because he was speaking of the Jew. He went on a rant, but that wasn't on Revolution Radio. It was on his own. He had his own personal website on BitChute.
Okay.
And he went off on a rant. He went a little crazy. Not crazy, just frustrated.
He spoke and the truth.
Yeah, he did. But they ended up kicking in his door, taking all of his guns, all, you know, everything, and he's been behind bars ever since.
And now, what exactly did he say? Because somebody else said to me that other people said something as well. So what exactly did he say? Is there anything in particular that he said that could be the issue? Or how the heck did it come to the cops coming?
Well, what he did was he ran in the election, and he put some signs up regarding the Jews. And after the election was over, then the police, who protect the corporation and the Jews and everybody else, they raided his house. And he's been in jail since February, I think. He's still in jail.
Yes.
And this is ridiculous because he just spoke the truth. And speaking the truth can get you in trouble because they don't want any truth. They don't want the truth going out to the people. And so he's been in jail since February. And I got to get down there and see if we can get him out.
I would appreciate some news about Leslie and his status and the legal issues surrounding him.
Yeah, he didn't cause anybody any harm. He just spoke the truth.
I'm in contact with his wife, and I spoke with her this morning.
Oh.
Yeah, we're in communication. She doesn't want to be known for obvious reasons. But he had a trial date he was supposed to get on the 28th of September, but because they have a legal lawyer.
Yeah.
He hasn't even told her what's going on, and she can't find out what's going on because they did it behind closed doors. I don't understand what that means. This is public information. I mean, if this guy's a danger to society, and you know, we're supposed to get what's public. We should have that information, but she said no, I can't even get it, and the jail isn't even allowing her to speak with him at this point. from my understanding. But no, Jan, he speaks almost identically the way you speak. And unfortunately, it's Canada. But his wife did ask me, like, we don't have a United States Constitution where you have free speech. We have freedom of expression, which, you know, you read between the lines on that. But she did ask me to ask you, what is your constitution in South Africa? Is it freedom of speech or is it freedom of expression?
Oh, wow. That's an interesting question. I think that we have free speech. But even if we have free speech, what they've just done is they've come up with various hate speech laws. So they've created tons of hate speech laws. And it's a nightmare to be able to go through and handle those hate speech laws. I must tell you, I myself had legal problems because of telling the truth. And thank goodness I learned a lot from my lawyer. It was quite an experience, I must tell you. And you've got to be so careful that in whatever country you live, you need to actually go and study those laws that relate to hate speech and freedom of expression. You know, you say freedom of expression, but you'll need to find out what exactly is the fine print. You literally have to go and actually read the law. I'm not joking with you. These things are so freaking complicated. I had to sit and talk to my attorneys over and over again and let my attorneys define it. I even did videos with my attorney where he spoke and he explained, if you say a thing this way, it's jail time for you. But if you do it a little bit slightly different, then you're okay. And you've got to be very careful of the message that comes out of your mouth. Because if you just do it slightly this way or slightly that way, bang, they can be at your door and they can nail you. I think for the white right, because I also had a phone discussion with that guy who runs Goyim TV, Handsome Truth. And Handsome Truth has also got legal problems with Jews and so forth. And he was saying to me he wants to study some legal stuff. And I said to him, yeah, go for it. Because for people who are doing public speaking and stuff like this, you better know the law. Otherwise, if you just say you it's the way that you say it and the message you convey, and those lawyers and Jews can nail you, man. They can nail your ass if you don't really know how to deal with it. And I advise everyone to actually study the law. You need to go and find the actual, like, Canadian law on freedom of expression, and you'll see that there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff in there. And you'll find that they probably have got hate speech and other restricted speeches and things. And you'll need to try and get a lawyer to actually, like, go through it and guide you, because you've got to be careful, because it's so sad. It's horrific, actually, that you know, you just can't even speak your freaking mind. And I mean, even in America, people have to watch their mouths. You know, they can't just say everything. So you know, the hate speech laws here were very scary, very scary. There was one lawyer who said to me, you're just not going to be able to survive this. They're going to wipe you out. So I am functioning on the edge. Yeah, indeed.
Are you familiar with Simon Roche?
Oh, God, Simon Roche.
He was on our broadcast.
Was he on your show?
He was for 2 hours, yes.
When?
How long ago, Ron?
Many years ago.
About 3 years ago, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
and I heard he was a Jew, and his real name is Simon Roth. Correct me if I'm wrong, or let me know what you know.
Okay, Simon Roche is the face of a group called the Saitlanders. Saitlanders basically means Southlanders. That's the best English translation I can give you. He was basically the face for an Afrikaans group that was very, that dealt a lot in prophecy. They basically came along with these Christian prophecies, and they said that there's going to be World War III, and then it's going to end like this, and then the Germans are going to beat the Russians, and this and that's going to happen, and eventually it's going to come to South Africa, etc. But it was all based on a bunch of prophecy interpretations. Okay? And I came across the Saitlanders in 2007. I'm getting feedback. I think your mute isn't on.
We're just about done here. We got 1 minute. Can you, Jan, just throw out your websites again? And you might want to join up with Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. But we're out of time now. And I appreciate you coming on, Jan. That was a very good show.
Thank you very much. It. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. We're out of time now. Yeah, there's the music. So take care, everybody. And speak the truth.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, you know you don't.